This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shoup and the Bulldog.
Number five, you have to go with Chewy. Now, I know Mel Kiper has him in the third round as a right tackle and, you know, a good guy to have as a teammate.
It's Mike Shoup.
Then number four is going to be Han Solo, because every time you see him, you know there's going to be action. There's always good stuff going on there.
And the Bulldog.
Yoda's one of the great characters of all time at number three. You know, one of the guys you always remember from the movies and kind of sets everything right.
It's Mike Shoup.
Number two, Luke Skywalker. I mean, the ultimate hero, the star, the Johnny Manziel. So I guess you could say maybe you can call him Luke Football or something like that.
And the Bulldog.
And then number one, and this is the sad part about it, you know, you don't have Darth Vader coming back in this one. One of the great villains of all time. To me, that's number one.
It's Mike Shoup and the Bulldog.
How can they not bring him back?
On WGR.
John Clayton. John, were you listening to that? John, were you able to hear the open right there?
It was kind of jumbled. I was sitting here worried. It's like, oh, don't tell me that we're going to start the segment and you're not going to be able to hear me, or I can't hear you, or anything like that. I mean, the only good thing that offered optimism was that Big Voice was able to come in clear. But was everything jumbled from what you heard?
No, it was fine.
No,
and you
it was fine on our end, and you sound fine now, so we don't have any concerns. But you did correlate Luke Skywalker to Johnny Manziel, and maybe that was unfortunate in the long run.
Yeah, that could be. But again, I couldn't understand a single word other than Big Voice.
Do you remember doing ranking Star Wars characters? That wasn't on our show.
Oh yeah.
It's
been done. I mean, you know, after about 8-9 years. You kind of got away from Star Wars, but certainly it was such a big movie and something that you always cared about, and you always kind of watched it because, obviously, you know, Luke Skywalker was great, and it was great to see Harrison and all the different people and certainly all the different animals. I still think one of the great scenes is when you see all the all the different characters looking so different in the bar.
In the band,
that was
the cantina.
One that I thought it was always great.
In the cantina. Did you ever meet any of those? Ever meet any of those actors or other very famous actors?
No, never have.
No?
No, unfortunately, I've never met any of them.
Sorry for starting this way. I mean, we probably weren't expected to talk Star Wars here, but that's what happened.
And you don't even really know why we were doing it.
Long enough, we can go any subject.
Oh, yeah. No, I know
you can. We know that, John. Yeah, there's no question. Yeah. You are a master improvisational person. There's no question about that. So how are things, man? How's summer been? How's everything going for you?
Well, it's strange because we've had the strangest weather change ever in Seattle. And so it's affected me kind of negatively because, you know, growing up in Pittsburgh, living out here in what's usually considered to be 75-degree weather with very little humidity, you know, the humidity's been high, the temperatures have been in the high 80s and all that stuff. We've now, today, this will be our 52nd day without any rain, any measurable rain. But when it ends up happening, I get an allergy, and I've never had an allergy before. So I had, you know, it started off with a lot of drainage from my nose. I was able to get one little $2 type of pill arrangement where it's like mucus relief, and that's kind of brought the mucus down. I'm being more graphic than I probably should be. But
do you want to go back to Luke Skywalker?
In my mouth, and it's made me weak.
Do you want to go back to Luke Skywalker before we get too much into the mucus?
No, that's okay. I've already passed that up, already said it. But other than that, everything's been good. I mean, it's just been busier and busier and busier. And so because of that, it's like I can't complain. I mean, it's like still got a fact. I got to finish up a story for the Washington Post today. I've been writing for the 104.3 every day in Denver. About 5 days a week, you know, did my Seattle story for 710sports.com, been filling in on Sirius, and so, you know, always good.
Good. Hall of Fame game tonight. Here's to the new season.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, I don't know how long it's going to be watchable, because usually when this game is going to be so unwatchable that, you know, you really want to stay with it and watch, you know, the 77th player on both teams go at it in the game. But again, it's just great to have football back. And, you know, now we're 1 week away from everybody else having their preseason games. I mean, you've got the celebration in Canton. I don't know how they're going to be able to do this because, again, you have so many people being inducted. I mean, this thing is going to go forever. And so, and again, having me not traveled since February of last year, I wasn't going to go. And I just got the go-ahead now to see about booking some trips for the football season, which is great, you know, because I'm doing the sidelines, the opposing team sidelines and the Seahawk broadcast gives me that opportunity. But again, it's like, it's like getting ready to start marching up for travel.
Very good. That's been a big part of our conversations over the years, all the miles and everything like that. And you on these different sites. Well,
yep.
You know, the Bills are a very relevant team going into this season. We all know that. Saw what happened last year. What are your expectations, John? It's a team with high expectations of its own and much the same roster as a year ago.
Yeah, no, I think it looks great. And because, again, you know what you're looking at, you can make the argument that Baltimore might be a little bit better. I don't. I look at right now at the Buffalo Bills being the second-best team in the AFC. I still look at Kansas City. That might change a little bit if Frank Clark ends up as a defensive end getting, you know, suspended for some long period of time. And what's a Frank Clark story is that back in March, he was stopped in Los Angeles, and he had a gun and a rifle in his car. Okay, so he's got a charge that could go up to 3 years in prison on that one. And then, whatever he was thinking, which he wasn't, back in June, he had an Uzi in his car. And they caught him on that, and he hasn't even been charged on that one. But you know he is, and that's even more serious. And you know what it is with Roger Goodell. I mean, he's anything involving guns, he's going to come down hard on. So what you're looking at is that if you take him out as a defensive end, their defense is going to be a little bit weaker. You look at the offensive line changes that they've made because they have maybe 3 to 4 new starters on the offensive line. Can that all come together? So I think you know, what you're looking at with the Bills, they are catching up and catching up very quickly. And you can thank certainly the quarterback, Josh Allen. You can thank Brandon Bean, the general manager, and Sean McDermott, the coach.
Yeah, keeping everything together here, John. Like, we haven't talked at all yet during the off season here. So, like, heading into it, like, after the AFC title game loss, we would have wondered about being able to keep John Feliciano and Matt Milano was the bigger one. I should have led with him. But, you know, not only – and Darrell Williams, their right tackle, who was a real bargain and a real nice player for them last year. And we were bracing to lose two, if not maybe all three of those guys in free agency because you expect that they would hit a lucrative market out there. And not only did they not lose all three of them, but like we've already alluded to, really, John Brown is the only significant departure from the team on either side of the ball. And, of course, they've made additions, too.
Yeah, no doubt. And, of course, I mean, the beauty of it is a reasonably young team, which I think is good because young, certainly, you know, the older the team, the tougher it is because you tend to get more injuries with older teams. Where, you know, you look at Tampa Bay, where they did a great job of keeping the 22 starters that they had in the Super Bowl, but now the average age of the team is like 28 years old. And last year they were very lucky because I think, you know, they were the third or fourth team as far as fewest injuries. And, you know, that could catch up to them this year. We look at the Bills, and really for the last 2 years, they've been among the healthiest teams in football, and that's got to help, and it helps having the roster being young.
John, you've always through the years been, or often, ready with some sort of insight pertaining to the schedule. I don't know if you're ready with one right now, but as far as the Bills are concerned, the schedule is not too daunting on paper based on what we know, it's not everything, but about these teams. You see Houston and Jacksonville on it. It's from the NFC South, Carolina, Atlanta, maybe New Orleans is even down. Pittsburgh had a great record, but many people think they're down. Like, the schedule is manageable, to say the least.
Oh, no question about it. And that's the one thing that's going to be so different, because I think what we're going to see both with Buffalo and also the AFC, we may be going back to the early 2000s. And in the early 2000s, you remember, I mean, the AFC dominated the NFC. I mean, it was like 44-20 in interconference plays, 40-24 in interconference play. Well, take a look at this year, because, you know, you've got some teams starting to fade in the NFC and teams, you know, getting younger and stronger in the AFC because of the young quarterbacks they've been drafting, the young teams that they have. And so because of that, and then, of course, to make it even better for the AFC, and this is where I thought there was it's kind of a discombobulation of some of the rules, but it's like, you know, if you notice, all the NFC teams that have the 17th game, they have to play in an AFC city. And so now that's another advantage, because it's the extra right. home game for every team in the AFC. And you're right, if you're now playing the AFC South, you're in good shape there, because, you know, Jacksonville is going to stink. Houston's like maybe the worst run franchise in sports. Indy right now is in deep trouble, because say what you want about Indy. I thought that, you know, talent-wise, they have a chance to be able to beat Tennessee. That's coming into the season, but then coming into the training camp. And then all of a sudden, here you have Carson Wentz, who's going to be out 5 to 12 weeks. You have Quentin Nelson, who's going to be out 5 to 12 weeks. Doesn't look like Eric Fisher is going to play in the first month of the season. And so, and you look at their schedule, and their schedule is such, their first five games are against five teams with 10 wins or more. You know, Seattle, the Rams, Tennessee, Miami, and Baltimore. They could, if those guys are going to miss extended period of time and their center Ryan Kelly's hurt, they could very well get off to an 0-5 start, and their season is over that early.
Do you think, with that in mind, they will do something about the quarterback injury specifically? I mean, I know they can't trade for replacements for the entire roster, and, you know, Nelson's a big injury too, obviously. But do you think they should do something or will do something about Wentz?
I think they should. I mean, I don't know if it's a matter of trading for Nick Foles or what to do, because, you know, Jason Eason, and of course I know him a little bit better than most because he was out here at UW as a quarterback, but I mean, he has been very, very inconsistent since, you know, he's taking over for Carson Wentz, and it's like you have him and hardly anything else. I mean, yeah, they picked up Brett Hundley, but he's just purely a career third stringer, maybe just backup at the best, and so they've got to consider it. But then also, is it going to work? And, of course, if you're going to put Jacob Eason behind that offensive line, if they're going to be down two starters, then you're in big trouble because it's going to take away the running game. But I think they really need to do something. Of course, I mean, you probably wait until the middle of training camp, toward the end of training camp to see it, because you've got to see how he comes off Wentz, because he's going to be, you know, not on the field for the first 2 weeks because he can't do anything in the first 2 weeks, and then start to go through a two-week rehab program. But if that's going to be the case, I can't see him being ready for the opener, and I can see them being in big trouble because they could get eliminated faster than just about any team. But you can also say the same thing about Jacksonville and Houston because they're so bad.
John Clayton with us on the Western Hotline. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. John, what's the closest thing to a viable threat in the AFC East after the Bills?
I mean, it depends on Tua, but I think you have to say Miami because they did win 10 games last year. You know, they still have some issues on defense, particularly Xavien Howard wanting to be traded because he's now making less than Byron Jones. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. But it's like, you know, that's one to kind of follow. I don't know if they're good enough with the running game, but Tua is going to be the key. Now, I know in the last couple of days he's been lighting it up, but he didn't light it up last year, and Ryan Fitzpatrick had to keep going back and bailing him out at quarterback. You know, New England is going to be better, but I don't know how good they're going to be at the quarterback position initially with Cam Newton. That's going to be the key. If Cam Newton is going to play well, then with all the additions they've had on the offense, then they have a chance to be maybe the number two team.
Yeah, would you predict that? Is Newton, in your mind, is he entrenched, or does Mac Jones have a crack at that job?
I think Mac Jones has a crack at the job. Maybe not in the first month, but certainly a crack at the job. Because, again, clearly if you're Bill Belichick and you just spent two players at tight end getting $12.5 million, an $11 million wide receiver, and another getting five. You want the experienced guy to try to get the most out of them and see where that offense is. But, I mean, if he struggles throwing the football or gets hurt or does something like that, then, of course, after a short period of time, he can do it. But I think Mac Jones is a quick learner. He's a smart quarterback. I mean, he knows all the different things that you need to run a Josh McDaniels offense. And at some point, I think he's going to get in. The question is going to be when.
John Clayton here on WGR. Well, the offseason has been really interesting for certain reasons. I guess it always is for something. But Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson. Now, I know you're a part, I think you're a part of a station in Denver that you do work for.
Yeah, 104.3, The Fan.
So you've been writing updates for a Denver audience, and there's been a lot to sort of, you know, present when it comes to Denver, right? Because they were seemingly in on Rodgers. It got close at the draft, maybe, and then perhaps Watson, too. Let's start with Rodgers. So how did you sort of take in the storyline over the summer? Like, did you either pretty much assume he would go back to Green Bay or assume that he wouldn't?
For most of the offseason, I kept on saying that he was going to hold out into the season. And then all of a sudden, you get to about, you actually get to summer, and you get 3 weeks before training camp, 4 weeks before training camp. Then I started thinking, you know what? Everything I'm starting to hear, he's going to go back. I mean, one, he didn't take the opt-out, so he stood to lose $35.3 million. Two, I think he was convinced that the Packers were not going to trade him, and so if he was going to, you know, sell out into the season, all he was going to do was lose money and maybe have to pay back a whole bunch of money. So when you take a look at that, you say, okay, I think I get it that most likely he's going to go back, and he did. But, of course, I don't know if you saw that initial press conference he had at training camp. That's one of the most pointed press conferences I've ever seen, you know, of him calling out not management that's currently there, management that's currently there and in the past. And so you can see he has no trust probably in Mark Murphy, the team president, no trust in the general manager, and you know, you can see that he wants to get out of there. Now, one of the things that was kind of interesting, in fact, I'm working on this afternoon, it'll take me about 3 minutes, is I have to, you know, put his new contract in there because I saw some numbers and it didn't add up. But I mean, he's got $46 million right now on his cap next, on the Packers cap next year. Now, it's going to be kind of a 2020 breakdown because, you know, they'll have to take a $22, $23 million hit, and then they'll get $22, $23 million off the books. So it's going to be a big hit, and they've got some cap issues right now. But I think this is Aaron Rodgers' last year, and you can understand, it's like, okay, I'm going to make my money. I didn't get Jeopardy, so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and play this out, because at least it's a team now that has a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and at least if his last year is going to be in Green Bay, then he has a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, it's such a weird situation, though, John, to go back with sort of an acknowledgement that, well, we're going to get divorced, but we're just going to wait a year. I mean, there's no kids involved. Maybe the rest of the team are the children in this scenario, in this sloppy metaphor I'm using. But either way, it's really, I don't know that it's unprecedented, but it's really odd.
Yeah, it is odd. I mean, but you know, I think we're seeing more of these. And again, I go back you start with the NBA and social media and everything else. And I think you're seeing a lot more of the NFL players starting to copy, because what ends up happening is in the NBA, if a player wants out, he pushes it and then maybe eventually gets out and forces the issue. Now you're seeing more players do it, like Deshaun Watson. He's waiting to see if they can get a deal done with Philadelphia. I mean, Rodgers certainly was hoping that he can get to Denver with the Broncos, and that didn't happen. But now he's put himself in a position where he's probably going to be out of there next year. But now you have more players that are speaking up and saying, I want out, I want out. I mean, Xavier Howard, we'll see what happens to him down there, because, you know, he's – in fact, there's a whole new thing going on in the NFL. You notice that there was only one holdout, and that was Zach Wilson of the New York Jets holding out 2 days. Now what you have is hold-ins. And so guys that aren't getting their contracts extended, they won't practice. I mean, Howard's not practicing. Seattle has Dwayne Brown and Jamal Adams not practicing. Watson's not practicing. I mean, the only thing he did last week was play a little bit of safety. But now that they're in padded practices, he's not even on the field.
No, they have a foot injury they've come up with.
Yeah, yeah. It's a, well, whatever. It's like
whatever.
They're making that up. I mean, let's put it this way. He hasn't done anything to suffer a foot injury.
Right.
You know, and what they're calling him is hold-ins, not hold-outs.
John, on Watson, we have about a minute or two here. What do you think happens?
I think he gets traded. You know, because nothing is going to happen in the case unless the police get involved, which right now they're interviewing, but they're not doing anything. But unless the police get involved, then what you're going to see is, I think, the commissioner's going to wait till next year because, like, he's not going to get deposed until February 22nd of next year, and the cases are going to go from July, May through July. And so I think it's going to be more next year on the suspension than this year. And so I think he can play. And, of course, I mean, he certainly would help the Eagles.
Wow, you think he's on the field this year?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Do you think the Eagles will trade for him with that, with all that litigation pending?
Yes. I mean, you know, there was a story out yesterday or 2 days ago that said things are heating up. Well, they're not heating up like they are, but there's still, you know, enough going on that you figure something's going to get done because, you know, they have an extra first-round pick next year, an extra second-round pick next year. They have the ammunition to be able to make a trade like that. And I think that, remember, this is a team that signed Michael Vick after he came out of prison.
Okay, interesting. Bold prediction. John, any questions for us?
Well, what's going to happen with the stadium?
I know, but if $5 of public money goes toward it, that's a crime. That's what I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can tell you this right now. Jerry Jones isn't going to allow a team to go to Austin, Texas.
Right.
All of this is pretty much, on some level, what Jerry Jones wants.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you ask Bills fans whether they want a new stadium, they don't care. I mean,
yeah.
some do, but people love the stadium and find it fine, you know, but our standards are not what he cares about, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, I don't think it's going to be tough for the economics in Western New York to be able to support that kind of an idea.
Yep, look forward to all that discourse.
Yeah.
Well, John, here's to Hall of Fame game weekend and continuing relationship with you.
Great. And, of course, that'll be great to do. I hope we're on for this year. And, of course, follow the Kraken right now. I think considered to be the second-best team in hockey right now.
From Luke to Mucus to Kraken, we covered it all. You've done it all,
yeah,
John.
All over, John.
There you go.
Yep.
Thank you.
Wonderful to touch base with you, friend.
All right. John Clayton on the West Her Hotline. I don't like it when I say nobody wants a new stadium. It's never nobody. There's lots of people that would. But, I mean, on the list of things people sort of are clamoring for, where's a new football stadium? It's one thing we like about things here, our places here, is the stadium. It's just, you know, means a lot. But you know how it goes. All right. Sal's coming up, speaking of the Bills, at 5 to... fill us in on today's practice. We'll talk about a few players of interest. I'm not sure I may have convinced my mother-in-law that a certain thing was once an Olympic sport, and I can't wait to tell you about this. I cannot wait to tell you about this, because I would just sort of riff, and I think with me, she has learned to just go blank stare because
right.
She might not be sure whether I'm joking.
Yep.
And, you know, that's understandable.
She's smart to take that tack.
So she did not give up, but it's possible that I've convinced her. All right, stay tuned. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Okay, what?
It's called music, Mike.
It's a theme song. It's a sitcom theme song.
You know what? I would prefer it. This is The Spinners.
Okay.
I should probably pot it down. Hang on.
What's the point?
No, it's just good music. It's fine.
Okay. Okay.
Just Corey putting his fingerprints on the show.
Just, I'm here and I haven't been fired yet, so that's just...
He's just bringing the jams.
What do you mean, what's the point? What do you mean, what's the point? The point is, it's a song that I like.
Yeah.
That's the point.
You want to come back here?
Point.
You want to come back here and press the buttons? Come on back here and press the buttons.
What a rude question. What's the point?
Right.
What's the point?
Were you about to talk about the spinners? Was there some?
Yeah,
there
like
some
did someone die? Did someone get?
No.
But like 2 years ago, I might have said, is someone from the spinners the new ambassador to France or something? Like, I mean, what is the point? But there was no point, and that's what I like about it. There was no point. It was just, hey, here's a song to make you feel good.
Mm.
I was in the middle of ranking my teams.
Oh, well, that's got to be a thankless job.
It's a pointless job. Speaking of what's the point? Well, I use several sites, but one is Fantasy Pros for like, oh, should I make this trade? You know, where do I stand in the power rankings? I got mad at Fantasy Pros because I'm last in one of these football guys championships, and I just do not agree.
There's your opportunity to shock the world.
That's right. So you scroll down, but the scroll, is someone listening going to know this? The scroll bar is so narrow that the cursor has to be in the perfect spot to be able to scroll down to your teams.
The way that websites are designed now, I got a lot of beef on Web 3.0. A lot of beef.
When's the last time you guys tried to navigate our website, like not WGR550.com, but like the internal, the thing where we go for like seminars and time off and stuff.
Yeah.
I have never had a harder time with anything in my life computer related than trying to navigate that thing.
It still uses frames. That's wild.
It is like the most frustrating apparatus I've ever encountered online. I just cannot. Like literally there comes a moment each time I have to do it that I think I should just quit. It'll be easier. I just quit. Forget about time off. I'm going to just take all time off. I'm done. I can't do it.
here's your time off.
Right.
Permanent.
Here's your time off. I'm done.
I happen to love our work website, and I wouldn't change anything. But
hey, thank you.
But, you know, I've tried to scroll down to these teams, and the way my teams were ranked, all the best ball teams were up top, and then there's nothing to do. I don't want to. I might want to look and see how this site thinks I did in those drafts. But really, when it comes to team management, I always have to scroll down. So I just found how I can sort them my own way.
Ooh.
I mean, it's 29 leagues.
Okay. That's a lot.
So
you can make a league of your leagues.
A league?
It's pretty. Well,
30. Now it's 30.
So you know what you need? You need another league because you're unbalanced.
29. It's not
have
a
two
good
conferences.
Number. Well, the main event is not included. Bare Knuckle is. So that'll be main event. Will be 30 plus. Adam Kelly wants to start one. It'll be 30.
You got expansion on the horizon here. Hopefully, that's a windfall for all the member clubs.
I hear that Austin is looking.
Austin.
For
what are you? You texted me before the show. I hope you don't mind me bringing it up. What is this thing you're doing tonight that our buddy Bakai is involved in? What do you?
Yes.
Got going on
well,
tonight?
I've done some things with Draft Sharks, and this week and next week are the Draft Sharks Invitational drafts. And so it's industry guys and high-stakes players. And Nick is kind of like me, maybe. He's above me. He's kind of like me.
He's been way into fantasy for a long, long time.
Longer than me. But he's sort of like fallen into that world where they want him for things.
Okay.
Gravitas.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he has a show or anything.
Right.
I mean, he has actual TV shows. He doesn't have, like, a fantasy show, right?
Are they counting you as a celebrity in these things?
It's weird. Not a celebrity, per se, but, like, a pro. FFPC has pros versus Joes, and I am one of the 2 years in a row. Yeah, I am one of the pros. And, like, what exactly, just between us, what exactly qualifies me to be a pro compared with these people who are, like, the guys we have on.
Right.
Are the pros. They're that's their profession.
Well, I guess you'll know it's really happening when people start calling you to do that, or is that already happening?
Well, Draft Sharks spun from that, and so the guy I do the deep end with, Adam Krautwurst, is drafting tonight, so I'm sort of taking his place on the call of the draft because he's going to be in it.
I see. All right.
And so Nick is in there. J.J. Zacharyson is in there. Ben Gretsch is in there. Like, it's giants. These guys are like the names in fantasy, and so I'll just be telling you how I think they're doing.
I see. That should be comfortable.
Oh, yeah. No, it will be comfortable. It'll be fun. Everybody should watch. But no, like, what am I doing there? Like, I don't know. I think about this all the time. What am I doing in that world? I love being in that world, but how did I get there?
Feeling a little imposter syndrome a little bit?
It's a little bit like when I jump up on stage and play with people that I know are vastly way more talented than me, and, like, I get to do it. And it's like,
yeah.
It's pros versus Joes. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm acting like a pro, but I am totally a Joe. There's no question about it.
You made them call you coach, and then they had to respect you because of that. And from that moment on, you're going to be respected.
I'm thrilled to be invited. I'm thrilled to be invited to anything. So, like, this is really cool for me. You want a fantasy thing? I have a thing on my mind, actually, about – let me just get your opinion on a player. Travis Etienne. What's the right way to look at Etienne in fantasy? Just sort of, you know, we'll go basic here. Whatever you got. What's the right way to look at him in fantasy?
Well, forgive me if this is a below your grade level question, but do we know what position he's playing for sure?
Well, he'll be a running back in fantasy.
He's going to be a running back in fantasy.
Yeah.
Okay, but
he'll get rushes.
Are they going to use him? Like, what's the word? Like, I don't know. They've got the guy from last year. Right, Robinson, the undrafted guy.
Yep.
Like, is he in line because he was first round pick to be the guy, or is he like the change of pace guy, third down receiver guy? Like, what's his role expected to be?
Well, that remains to be seen. As usual, that team, like all teams, are playing somewhat coy about that. But everything on ETN so far has been in the slot. Like, he's practicing at wide receiver. He has spent a lot of his practice time running routes. And people say he looks amazing. Like, he's blowing by guys, and, you know, he can catch the ball. That was part of his profile coming into the league. So,
yeah, sounds good.
How would Urban Meyer use him? Because this is about Urban Meyer more than it is about ETN for me. Like, how does he play rookie running backs? How does he play running backs at all? How do running backs usually perform under Meyer, at least at the college level?
We don't know. So, well, I mean, at the college level, it's almost not even – like, he had Carlos Hyde at Ohio State, I think, and he signed Carlos Hyde. So he's there, too, if that matters. But, if ETN gets a third of the carries, say, which is maybe low. I mean, he was a first-round pick. If he gets a third of the carries and they throw it to him, I think you're fine. I think that's the plus. That's the where, like, okay, for what he – in drafts, he's not even in the first – I mean, he's not in the first three rounds.
Right,
so
Lawrence knows him. So it's going to be a target that Lawrence knows on the field.
That's a good point. That's right. I mean, that's the plus argument, as they call it, the bull case for ETN, is he gets – some respectable percentage of the carries, maybe not goal line.
But he's the receiving option.
And they throw the ball to him five times every game, or even more, maybe.
Yeah.
They have other, I mean, they've got other weapons. Chark, Chenault, Marvin Jones. Robinson was good. So the bear case, right, the other side of it is what? They don't use him in the running game, really. They wanted Kadarius Toney. That's who Urban Meyer wanted with that pick, and he was picked by the Giants.
Right.
So they drafted ETN.
And he was, if I remember correctly, going into the draft, more of like that's your slot guy, that's a jet sweep guy, whereas ETN is still more of a running back. I think he's versatile enough to be used by one of the Bills to get him. I think he could have done all that slot, jet sweep stuff, but also still be a guy you hand the ball to. So it's interesting that the Toney part of that is, you know, That might be a stumbling block. Like, if they want to just use him as jet sweep receiver guy and not so much as a running back, like, that'll cut into probably goal line, touchdown opportunities, rushing the ball. So I don't know, man. Like, I love the player. I think you know that. But I don't know.
No reason not to love
him,
right?
He'll have there. Yeah. Right.
I don't know how it's going there with him yet. I can't. Tebow is going to be on the field in goal line situations for touchdowns for Urban Meyer. It's probably the whole reason he got him.
Maybe.
If he makes the team and if he's there. Because if he makes the team and he's there on the starting roster, he's going to take opportunities away from ETN.
Well, maybe, yeah. And Robinson he should. He deserves to play plenty. I mean, he was very good. But they did draft ETN, so I don't know. I kind of am on the pro side because of the first round pick status and because of the player he is. And the quarterback is probably good. Like, he's the arguably the best college quarterback prospect ever. So, you know, if it falls right, you could be in great shape with ETN. And then if that happens, like, they're not a terrible team if that happens, you know? Like, if Lawrence is good, how bad are they going to be? Because they could be the Bengals, but he'll be better than Burrow, probably.
They could be murdering people in that division. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities for points, probably.
Yeah, there. Just very interesting team, or it could go a lot of ways. So I guess I like him, but I think it's a really interesting case, that player. Like, as opposed to Najee Harris, who went right before him, where everybody expects the same thing. All the work. Steelers, like, all the work. Najee mm-hmm. Harris, all the work. And if they want to be more of a running team, like they say they do, like ownership wants, Steeler identity type stuff, then, you know, boom. He goes way earlier than ETN in drafts. You know, he goes mid to early second round in drafts. Harris, ETN 2-3 rounds later. Just, you know, on the surface, big difference in how the players will be used. Sal Capaccio coming up at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. All right, things just got decidedly yachtier here. What was Corey, right? What was the?
Of course it was.
Ball scores? What was it? Yep. What was it? Was it ball scores?
Ball scores.
That was the term?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have Olympics ball scores for everybody, but yeah.
I've got the ball scores up. Because I follow this one site, BR Betting. They said that somebody bet $80,000 today on the Rockies to win by at least 2.
God.
Plus 120. Not a massive return. Like, I know it's the Rockies, but they're playing the Cubs, and they're only a few games worse than the Cubs.
I hope their taxes go up.
$80,000 at plus 120 on the Rockies today. What kind of life is that? I mean, fun, right?
I mean, I'm sure.
Could you live like that?
Could I live like that?
How does anyone live like that?
I don't know. No, I could not live like that. No.
So this person has some serious interest, or that the money means nothing to them. There are people that would say that, could say that, I guess. Like, if Bezos bet on that game, need to bet $8 million. It wouldn't even be interesting. $80,000 on the Rockies. So the Rockies go up 4-0 after 4. Then the Cubs put 4 up in the 5th to tie it. And then Trevor Story just hit a 2-run homer. So he's up by 2. I don't know. It doesn't have to be a guy either.
Could be a group of people. What if they all pulled it together? What if this is a retirement? Like, everybody put their retirement together. And they decided, like, listen, I'm telling you right now, you can't trust your 401k. The only thing you can trust
is the Rockies.
It's the only thing you can trust right now.
Maybe he's onto something here.
Wow. Investments can be volatile, so.
Could be money laundering.
Maybe the Rockies are safer.
What if it's 80,000 people who each threw a buck in? So do you root?
What fun is that?
Do you root for one outcome or the other here? Like, do you want to see the person win?
Oh, yeah, I want him to lose. I want him to get washed.
Go Cubs?
Absolutely, 100%.
Why?
Because that's, I think, a more dramatic and fun outcome. It's not fun if they win. What are you going to do? Just get more money. Hooray.
And you just bet again.
No, I want...
Double down.
Give me some desperation. Let's see it. Show me the panic. That's what I want to see. I want the post-game show where they're worried about their mortgage. That's fun.
We do a Bills post-game show, and someone calls in and says, yeah, I lost $80,000 on this game.
And I'm like, hang on. I want to talk to you, buddy.
Hang on. Let me get you an 800 number.
Sure.
It's more what I might suggest.
Bulldog, did you see J.R. Richard died?
Yes, I did. I did see that J.R. Richard died.
Did you care about him in his playing days?
Yeah. I mean, he was fantastic. I mean, care about him. I mean, I wasn't an Astros fan, but, I mean, there was a stretch there where he was dominant.
It was great, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he was a big star. And I saw our Kyle Powell, who's our, like, resident baseball guy at the station, tweeted out referencing a quote from Richard that he said is like his favorite all-time baseball quote. And it is that Richard said one time, I could throw my fastball through a car wash and it wouldn't get wet. Which I love that. Like, baseball gives you that sort of flavor sometimes, and I love that.
I just remember he was like a star in baseball when I was really little, just starting to watch, care about baseball. So 79, 80. And then he had a stroke. And I remember that because the stroke, that was it. I mean, he was like a great pitcher, and he had a stroke in the 80 season, and that was it for his career. He tried to pitch after that, but he couldn't. And so that was it. And, like, you know, what's a stroke? What happened? Does the guy die? Did he die, or what happened to the guy? Like, what, he can't pitch? What is this? What? Tell me what this is. And so, like, that was a big news event that happened. The 80 Astros went to the playoffs anyway. It's an amazing series they had with the Phillies. They lost, and they were kind of a fun team. Morgan was on that team, who I liked. But J.R. Richard, I mean, I'm a little late for him. He was great. He had 15 strikeouts in his first game, which is still tied for the most ever by a guy making his debut.
And didn't he had just terrible health problems after? I mean, the stroke was bad enough, but like mental illness problems, like he was homeless for a while.
Yeah,
he had a very tough back half of his life.
Well, that's a sad one. He was a pretty cool guy there in the 70s pitching for the Astros. All right, we have Sal Capaccio next here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.